Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Soon every American home will integrate their television, phone, and computer. You'll be able to visit the Louvre on one channel. I'm watching Mel Mott Wrestling on another. You can do your shopping at home or play Mortal Kombat with your friend in Vietnam.
What was that?
Cable Guy.
Oh, I was like, I've heard that. What is that?
Your little tech conversation inspired me to find
that. Right. No, for a second it sounded like Roger Rabbit. But then I was like, wait a minute. No, that's not the bunny. That's not. That's good. Nice job, Joe. It's an older one.
Thank you, sir.
Cable Guy.
All right. So college basketball. You ready to talk a little college hoops?
Sure.
Here? All right. I guess if you're going to go down, you might as well, you know, do it right, right?
Right. What's with the dramatic music?
I have no idea.
Thanks.
Had the internet still on. It was a Julian Edelman documentary.
It's time to talk college basketball.
Go ahead. Continue.
So you saw, I think it was earlier this week, where I guess Kansas, it was announced, is going to have some problems. I guess a lot of stuff that went down with Kansas basketball and Bill Self. They were part of this whole Adidas investigation.
Right.
And finally it came out that they were as dirty as some of these other programs that were involved in this. And this
sorry, I was laughing, by the way. You sounded like you were like, we were like having the talk. Well, you're going to go through some problems, Kansas. So be prepared.
So did you see what they did at their Midnight Madness celebration last night?
I heard. Yeah.
They had Snoop Dogg perform, and they had stripper poles with girls going up and down the stripper poles at Midnight Madness.
That's good.
Apparently, their athletic director had to come out and apologize after for their Midnight Madness party and performance that they put on for the fans.
Yeah.
What made them think that that was a good idea?
I love Snoop Dogg, too.
Snoop Dogg is a great entertainer.
Snoop is great.
But girls on stripper poles?
Yeah, that's not...
At Midnight Madness?
2019.
Is that really...
Where are we at here? Yeah. Not a good thing in this whole climate and the Me Too movement. Like, that's probably not a good look.
Yeah, I don't think so.
With all the issues you have, too.
I don't think so.
But I think tonight, it's funny, over at the Dunk, PC has its Late Night Madness. I think it's going to be nice, clean fun.
I'm guessing they won't have girls on stripper poles
right?
at the Dunk.
I think it's going to be nice, clean fun. Yeah,
they will have John Legend there.
Which is cool, man.
Yeah,
it's, and don't forget, A Boogie with the Hoodie. He's going to be there, too.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Scott's guy.
Yeah.
A Boogie with the Hoodie.
So.
And Red Panda. Red Panda's your guy. You Red Panda.
You'll be there too, won't you?
I will. I might see Red Panda. I don't know. I won't be able to be there for John Legend. I got the local news. I got the late news tonight, but which is disappointing because I really like John Legend. But should be a great night. It's cool that they're moving it to the Dunk.
Yep.
They've always had it at Alumni Hall on campus, and to have it in a big venue like that gives it a big time program feel. So. You know, good for them for moving it over there. And, yeah, should be a fun night. It kicks off college hoop season, which I think a lot of people are excited about around here, Scott. I think PC has the potential this year to have a great season. There's a lot of depth. There's a lot of, you know, versatility in their lineups and what they can do. They've had some growth. They added some guys. I think we had a caller call in about just some health concerns. I'm not going to look too much into health concerns just yet because, you know, we're still about a month away from the season starting, but, you know, things to watch. You know,
Was it Watson?
I think Nate Watson was – Kevin McNamara put out a tweet about a couple guys with health and, you know, but we'll see. Could be management. You know, we don't totally know yet. You know, so we'll see with health. I'm not going to panic yet, but PC should have a good year. URI should have a really good year. They're going to be in the mix in the Atlantic 10.
I think Brown's going to be good, too.
I think Brown's going to be good.
And Bryant is trending upward
as well.
Bryant's going to
be really good. Bryant's experienced. You know, they've got three guys there in town, Grant and Ike Naduba coming back, that they can lean on. And if they can fill out the rest there and find some guys with different roles, one Cardenas, if he's able to get out there and, you know, be healthy, then that's going to help. And so they're going to be good. I think Tamanic Cho is going to be great for Brown. I say URI is going to compete because they have two things that you can lean on too. You've got a great, experienced starting point guard in Jeff Doughton. You've got a great, experienced starting big man in Cyril Langevin. You can go far in the A-10 with that. And you've got Fats Russell, who can be explosive offensively. You know, there's a lot of things to let. Tyrese Martin had a great freshman year. Does he make a leap in sophomore year? And then PC, you could go down the names on the list, and it's A.J. Reeves, David Duke, Alpha Diallo, you know, Nate Watson. Like, and Luan Pipkins, I think, can be a really big addition for them because they struggled with point guard play last year. If he can come in, play a solid season for them as a grad transfer, yeah, it's going to be a great year. It's great to talk about because it's going to be really, really fun this winter.
So for all you college basketball fans, and I know Sean and Rumford might be the biggest of all of our listeners. He texts me every week, texts us every week. And
love it.
Can you talk college basketball? Like in the middle of the summer, can you talk college basketball?
It.
We will have our college basketball preview show on November the 2nd, which is just a few weeks away.
Yeah, right.
And we're going to have all four Division I coaches on. So be sure to tune in for that. And and that's right before the season starts because that Wednesday, I think, is when college basketball season officially tips off.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and Brown and Bryant play each other to start the season.
That's
right?
The season opener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Bears
that's
and Bulldogs.
That's a great way to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'll be fun to have all four coaches on. Yeah, like I said, it's going to be a fun winter. It really is. And it kicks off with PC's Late Night Madness tonight. And it's fun to start thinking about. When the temperature was what it was this morning, too, you're like, all right, we're getting into winter here. This is going to be good. November is always a fun month. So we're getting there.
All right. So 401-737-1287, the phone number if you'd like to join us. We can recenter. We haven't even gotten into the Sox and what they
I'd
need
like
to do this offseason.
Sure.
I know that, you know, John Henry's made it clear that they want to reduce payroll, that they want to stay under that luxury tax threshold if they can. I read into that Mookie Betts is likely going to be moved this offseason. Would you agree with that? Because I know there's some differing schools of thought there. I think some people believe when you hear John Henry say that, it's almost like, okay, well, then it's going to be impossible to keep both Mookie and J.D. Martinez, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of leads you to believe that they'll probably make an effort to keep J.D. The other school of thought, the flip side of that is a lot of people believe that Dombrowski was a guy that Mookie did not like. Going back to arbitration a couple of years ago when they played that video and said, you're not as good as this guy, I forget who it was, the player.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is some people believe that maybe one of the reasons that they fired Dombrowski when they did was try to appease Mookie and make it more attractive to stay here, sign long-term with the Red Sox. I don't know. I'm leaning more toward the former.
Yeah.
I think they're going to try to deal Mookie because Mookie has not shown any inclination to want to stay here beyond next season. He seems hell-bent on testing the free agent waters and going to the highest bidder. So I feel like they're going to move him this offseason.
We've talked about this before, and I think in the past I've looked at it and I've sort of thought like, yeah, I don't know if he wants to re-sign here, so maybe you have to deal him, get what you need to get and whatever, move on. My thoughts have changed on this, Scott. So say you're to go out and trade Mookie Betts right now, this offseason. Mm-hmm. What are you going to get for him?
I think you'll get something decent. I mean, I know he only has a year left, but you'll get something good.
But every team that you deal with is going to know that Mookie Betts wants to test the free agent waters, like wants to do it. So
I get it, but they're also have to understand they're getting a super talented player. So if you feel like you're a piece away from being a World Series contender, then I think you go after a guy like Mookie and you give up something decent to get him.
Which is why, if I'm the Red Sox, I hold on to him. I don't deal him this offseason. I hold on to him. And especially because I think J.D. Martinez is going to opt out. So you pay Mookie whatever you need to pay him this year. Go through the season. If you feel like your team is not performing up to par again here in 2020, I think a team that's looking to add a superstar piece that's tasting a world championship that feels like it's close, I think we'll be more inclined to give up more at the trading deadline or maybe a more premium prospect at the trading deadline in order to add a Mookie Betts and make their world championship run. Yeah, I think you could argue that argument, but
I also, the flip side of that is, how much are they going to give up to get him for less than a half a season as opposed to a full season of
Mookie? I think right now if you give him up, you'll get a few prospects, but will they be the prospect in whoever system it is? And I point to when the Yankees signed Aroldis Chapman and then they dealt him to the Cubs. Mm-hmm. The Cubs were desperate enough where they needed to add Aroldis Chapman, and it paid off to win the World Series. But they went and they gave up their premium prospect, the Cubs at the time. You know who that was? That was Gleyber Torres.
Yeah.
They wouldn't, I don't think in the offseason, maybe they would have. Maybe they would have given him up or something like that in a deal along those lines. But I think they were so, they looked at it and they said, we want this world title. We need this guy to be our closer. He is the best closer in baseball. So what are we willing to give up? You may get three or four prospects in the offseason for somebody like Mookie Betts, but will you get the elite prospect? Will you get the guy that is closer to a sure thing than others? Maybe at the trade deadline you give him up, you get that sort of thing. That's one thought that I had. The other thought was, okay, so he goes to free agency. Who's going to be able to pay Mookie Betts that kind of money that he's looking for in the free agent market besides the Red Sox? I know they want to cut down payroll, but if you cut down payroll this season, maybe make a couple of more deals. Like, you could get somebody like a Jackie Bradley Jr. off the books. You know, find different ways. Ruzne Castillo is going to be in the final year of his deal. That's $12 million that's going to come off the books. Like, after 2020, do you have the space where you look at it and you say, okay, Mookie, you know what? We've cut down our payroll. We've gotten creative here. We're at the point now where we can give you $30 to $35 million a year. We can sign you. And I just feel like dealing this sort of talent too, Scott, I've looked at it more and more and I've said, man, you're gonna give away this guy. You know, if you feel like you have a chance at some point, even if he hits free agency, if you feel like you can bring him back, you can give him that deal, you know, I think I try to negotiate it and I try to do it.
Is he worth Mike Trout money? Last year at this time, the answer was absolutely yes, coming off an MVP season, a World Series.
But even
but
in his...
Right now, he was a little inconsistent this year.
Inconsistent, but he still had a pretty good season.
Statistically had a decent year.
And I think that is a sign of a great player, is that even in a year where we look at it and we say it's decent, you know, his, all those baseball analytics, his WAR was way above average. It was. And so, do you want that guy as your franchise player, especially at the age that he's at, too? Like, you know, I would be weary to give some. I hate big time contracts. It goes against like 12-year deals, things like those always scare the heck out of me. You see what like long term deals can do with a guy, like they're stuck with Dustin Pedroia for a couple more years here, like that.
Yeah.
That can hurt.
It's a borderline Bobby Bonilla deal.
It's tough, but you know, can you try to negotiate it where maybe the AAV is, you know, I don't know, but I just, to give up on this guy and to trade him away, I'm less inclined to do that now. And again, if you can revisit this, I think, at the trade deadline, if you feel like, okay, we need to give up, he's not going to do anything for us, you know, some team's offering us, throwing prospects at us. I just feel like teams get more desperate when that happens.
In all due respect to what they decide to do with Mookie, the two things that scare the hell out of me with an eye toward next season are this. Mm. You mentioned J.D. Martinez opting out. If they don't keep him, we saw that one year that they did not have that big bopper in the middle of the lineup and what it did to this lineup, okay?
Yep.
The bridge year between Ortiz and Martinez was a disaster. JD came in and settled that lineup right down. That scares me to think that they could be without that big bopper in the middle of the lineup. That's number one. Number two, just because of how strapped they are financially and the fact that John Henry wants to reduce payroll and stay under that luxury tax threshold, I don't see them doing anything, or much, I should say, to shore up their starting rotation. The guys
they
you
can't.
Had are the guys you're going into next season with in all likelihood, right?
Yes.
It's Sale, it's Price, it's Eovaldi, it's Erod, and, you know, pick your fifth starter, right? Yeah. And the fact of the matter is they, with the exception of Erod, sucked this year. Mm-hmm. They have to be much better. And do we go into next season with any degree of confidence that they can be? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. That you're stuck with them. Like, I don't even get to the starting pitching because you're stuck with them. That is your starting rotation, whatever. I actually think that your fifth starter or the fifth guy that could be part of that rotation, I think one thing that they could do this offseason, because he had such a down year this year, and I don't think anybody's going to throw money at him for a multi-year deal, maybe you bring Rick Porcello back on a one-year deal. I think that's a one-year prove-it sort of situation where, and that's a guy that is...
What did he show you this year that makes you want to do that?
He's durable. That's what I like about him.
I know he's an innings eater, but he was horrible this year.
He was bad. He was bad.
He stunk.
You could get him at a reduced price.
And
I'm
I know what
saying.
You're saying. Porcello's up, down, up, down. 1 year
right.
good. So if it follows that pattern, in theory, he should be good next year.
Yeah.
No, I'm ready to move on from Rick Porcello.
No, I'm throwing that out there. That could be a possibility if you want to round out the rotation, but it's not a big commitment, you know? Your other point about J.D. Martinez, I feel a heck of a lot, and I know that bridge year, it settled down the lineup. You're totally right what J.D. Martinez did for this lineup. It led to the World Series title in 2018. You know, because 2017, they didn't have that guy in the middle of the order. I feel way better about moving on from J.D. Martinez now because I do think you have guys in the middle of the order that can settle things down. I think Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts took a leap offensively this year. They are not that cleanup sort of hitter, but I think you can manage because you still scored a heck of a lot of runs this year.
I know you did, but you did it with J.D. Martinez in the middle of that lineup with his productivity. And also, don't discount the fact that he's really helped some of these young guys in their approach to hitting. I mean, nobody studies opposing pitchers and the art of hitting more than J.D. Martinez. We've heard about that, how he's mentored a lot of these young guys or the way he approaches hitting. You lose that.
I drool over him, I know. I've drooled over him before.
All I can say is if he decides to walk, you better find a way to replace him. And I don't know what big bat will be out there to replace him with, but I think he needs to be replaced.
Yeah. Can you find a guy that could be like a quote-unquote cleanup hitter without breaking the bank? I think you could, even if it's a guy that's hitting for power in the middle of the order. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head, but I feel better now. Because Devers wasn't the guy that he is. You know, Devers can hit now, man. And he can hit home runs. He can hit for power. Same with Bogaerts. Bogaerts found that power. Like, I think Bogaerts now, after the season that he had, I mean, is he a three-hitter? I think he is. You know, and if you go Bogaerts-Devers in the middle of the order, it might be pretty good, Scott. Like, it's much better than it was.
But again,
because after Ortiz, they just didn't have a guy. They didn't.
It's the old Peter principle. Sometimes you elevate a guy to his level of incompetence, right? Like, if Bogaerts is successful as a number two and you move into the number threes, all I'm saying is you put guys in positions where you think they should be able to flourish and they can't. You took them out of a position that they were raking in.
Yeah.
You know?
But is it
sometimes you don't want to mess with that.
Well, JD, I think it's pretty obvious. I think he's going to opt out. I think he is. So, you know, I think you're going to have to pick between, you know, him and Mookie Betts if you want to make a run at Mookie Betts. I don't know. It's tough to say. And even don't forget about a guy like a Michael Chavis. Like Chavis could be, you know, he could be like a five hitter. He has potential to be in there, you know? And so, you know, if you're going Bogaerts, Devers, Chavis in the middle of the order, it's, you know, it stinks to not have a guy that's, as, you know, I think pretty consistent in J.D. Martinez in the middle of the order, but that's still a pretty good lineup. Say you next year you're going in with Mookie, Benintendi, Bogaerts, Devers, Chavis in the top five. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, Chavis doesn't do it for me yet. He's a swing and a miss guy too much.
But as a five hitter? As a five hitter, that's not bad. That's not a bad thing, especially with the power that he yields. You know, it's not bad. It isn't.
All right, let's go to the calls. 401-737-1287, the phone number. James in Norwich, good morning. You're next on Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
Good morning. How's my favorite pair since hot and cold running water?
What's up, James?
Hi, James.
Hey, I agree with everything you guys were saying, but first, before you start wondering what we're going to get for next year, we got to get a general manager.
Sure.
You know, and they got to pick they got to get somebody who has the sight of what's best for Red Sox, you know?
Do you believe, Nick, that they, behind the scenes, might still make a run at Theo, despite what Theo has said publicly about not coming back to Boston?
Maybe, but I don't think that's a reality. I don't. I don't know. I think at this point, you know, he shut it down. I thought at one point maybe, and when the Globe wrote about it, I thought maybe that was enticing, but I don't know. I think his family's established out there now. Maybe not. Maybe now's not the time. Maybe not. I actually think if you're going to make a phone call to somebody experienced, I think there's a phone call you should make. I don't know how
Billy Bean?
I think I don't think it's going to happen. But I think if I'm John Henry, and after I watched that game the other night, and they lose, and they lose again in the postseason, they haven't won an ALCS game with all this money ball and all this stuff over years and years and years.
That's because Houston's been really good, too.
Well, that, too.
One of the reasons.
But pick up the phone. John Henry, just pick up the phone and call Billy. Just see if there's any interest there. Billy, we need to cut down payroll. You're the best at working with, with what you got. But we'll also give you a little bit of money. You do have a little bit of room to work with here. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about, moving? I know he's got a family, too. He's established out there. But I make a call. We'll see. I don't think it's going to happen, but I make the call.
Exactly. But now why bring back somebody who's already been here? They already went through the stuff with Teal. And it's time to get something fresh. Coming back, We already went through it. I'm sick of retreads, People who have already been here, and then we bring them back.
Well, Theo is a unique one, because if you were to bring him back, I think he's the player development part of it would be, I think pretty good. Theo Epstein's Theo Epstein. He built up, more of a farm system with the Cubs and built a World Series team there, and I think he could do it again. I do. I think he could do it again, but I just think he's too established now with the Cubs. I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. But the bottom line is, I think what makes a guy like Theo attractive, obviously the fact that he's done it here before, but I think this ownership group realizes that even though we have money to spend, okay, we're a high-revenue team, we still need to build up this farm system again. It has been depleted. We have not done a good job of restocking it. We need a guy that can do that.
Right.
And that really, I think, is going to be very important for the future of this franchise.
It's the challenge, absolutely.
All right, we got to run. We got to take a quick break. 401-737-1287, the phone number. You're listening to Kordashian Coit on WEEI.
Super Loop!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.